Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
It is that time, everybody. We talk to this man every single day about the world of the NFL. He joins us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. He is the professor, John Clayton. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Can you believe Pete Carroll is 70 years old? I think we all look at that man and say, man, when I'm 70, I hope to be half that energetic, have half that amount of hair. I mean, it just he is a marvel, and he's a guy that, I mean, he's so sharp. He's so into it. How long do you think he could go? I mean, is he 75? Could he go to 80? He looks like if anybody could do it, it'd be him.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the Tom Brady of coaches in the sense that he takes such good care of himself. I mean, look how thin he is. Look at the khakis that he wears, all those different things. But I'd have to think that, 75 he can go to, if not longer. I mean, the one thing he's always mentioned is Marv Levy, who coached into his 70s. And now, because of the way modern medicine is and everything else, you know, guys are coaching longer. I mean, Nick Saban, I think, is pretty close to 70. And you got Bruce Arians at 69. And I think, Bill Belichick, 68. So, I think that coaches can coach longer. As long as they can coach. And obviously, if you're Arians, if you're Belichick, if you're Carroll, these guys can coach.
How old was Levy when he stopped? Was he 75?
I think he was 74, I think. I'm just going off memory right now. 73 or 74.
Yeah. Well, apparently, according to you, it's the khakis and the big white shoes.
Oh, yeah. His key.
Well, and that's the key to eternal youth.
Yeah, and the thing is, being able to throw the football in the pregame.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling him.
Is he going to throw it 70 yards?
No.
Oh, he has to throw it
Doesn't he? He would usually match, the yards would match whatever age he was turning. I don't know. If he throws it 70, I mean, he's going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
No, if he throws it at 70, he probably is going to get signed by the Washington football team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I told him the other day when we interviewed him, it bothers me that he runs better than I do. Because he's had a knee replacement and everything. So, yeah, pretty cool. Yep, and he's signed through 25, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah, because it was a six-year deal for John Snyder, so I think he goes to 2027, and I think it's 05 for Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Marv Levy retired at the age of 72, tied with George Papa Bear Hallis.
Wow. Mm.
72. I think Pete's going to break the record.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, and then they also they got Snyder locked up through 27. Chuck Arnold, the president, I think they just did an announcement in preseason and everything. Where does Tennessee rank as far as ownership, and what's the strength of that franchise?
Well, I mean, the strength of the franchise is some of the talent that they have on offense. It's the ownership. I mean, it's all kind of the main daughter of the owner, a previous owner. I mean, because they had a big internal fight. I mean, not as bad as the one in Denver, but there was a big internal fight, and then they finally settled it down. So, Adam's daughter now runs it, and they seem to be pretty stable. And that's the one thing I think is so interesting in the National Football League, and I think it's good. Now, again, the NFL wants to and continues to remain a family business. They're not necessarily wanting, to go corporate and all those different things, which certainly they could, but it stays a family business. But one thing that's so great is that now you're getting so many women that are, running franchises and running them well. I mean, you got Tom Benson's wife down in New Orleans and in Denver right now. Again, I think there's going to be a sale there after the season. And I think Jeff Bezos is probably going to be the one to buy the team in Denver. I mean, you got Tennessee, but you have so many more women owners. And, the great part is, I mean, in Detroit, for example, now, again, that's a badly run franchise, but that's owned by a woman right now. So I think what you're looking at is that the one thing is, if they're smart enough, and most of these are smart enough, they just go hire football people to make the football decisions.
John, Ethan Posick heads to the injured list. He's going to be out for a few weeks, so Kyle Fuller is the man, and I guess Dakota Shepley is going to be the backup then, right?
Yeah. Again, it's like a guy we've never really heard of, but it's somebody that I guess that they've liked and they've respected, and they brought him in, because I thought that they were going to go and maybe get an Austin Bly, you know, the Rams' former center. But, you know, they didn't bring him in because, I know, down in New Orleans, Eric McCoy, their starting center, got hurt on Sunday. And so the Saints just signed Austin Bly. But I thought Austin Bly, even though he would sign for the minimum salary, was probably the best center that was on the open market. But, yeah, in the case of Posick, I mean, he's never been healthy this offseason. I mean, it's been injury all the way through, and so you kind of wonder. But you sense that they like Kyle Fuller. Obviously, they have some faith in Shepley, and so, you know, like anything else, they can still look around and see if there's anything else they want to bring in.
Yeah, and we've talked about with Ray Roberts says this all the time, that you get two really strong guards.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
mm-hmm.
mean, you can kind of cover for your center a little bit. Hey, John, I know you keep track of injuries, and we touched on this a little bit. Are the 49ers leading the way as far as injuries in the NFL right now?
No, I mean, the Jets have 14 players on the injured reserve list, and so they probably have the league lead right now. But you can see that the list is growing because, you know, now they have two running backs now that Raheem Mostert and Jeff Williams are on there. You know, they've got two receivers in Richie James and Jalen Hurd. You know, they've lost Jason Verrett. I mean, he's out, and who knows who's going to be next. And so it's a building list, and you just don't know. But last year, as I counted up, they had 131 missed starts with injuries and COVID-19. And I'm not saying that they're going to reach that level this year, but it's got to be scary because, I mean, you look at that secondary. I mean, they didn't play Emmanuel Mosley in the opener. Jimmy Ward, the safety, got hurt. I mean, they were in such bad shape in that second half that Detroit was able to come back as a bad team from a 38-10 deficit and turn it into 41-33 because all they had was young, inexperienced guys out there trying to play.
John, we got the news today that Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence fractured his foot in practice today and looks like he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. I was looking for the 5 to 12 week designation.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 6 to 8. For him. Also, Randy Gregory tested positive for COVID, so he goes on the reserve list. That defense has already taken a couple of hits, big ones.
No doubt about it, because, again, what you're looking at is that they now have to somehow generate a pass rush. And, of course, I mean, you know, Gregory has pass rush ability. Lawrence is one of the best in football as far as rushing the quarterback, and that's going to be a big setback for them. Now, again, where they're fortunate is they got an easy schedule, the second easiest in the league. You only play 6 games against teams with 500 records or better. But no, I think this has got to be a big concern for them because here they are, without that, and it's early in the season. And likely, you know, you never know, these 6 to 8 injuries can turn into a 5 to 12 at any time. Although I guess in the case of the Colts, you know, their 5 to 12 turned into more of the 5 than the 12.
What do you think is going to happen with Sam Darnold in Carolina? Because we were talking today to the play-by-play guy from the Titans and brought up Tannehill because he's a great example of, I think he had one winning record season as far as a starter down in Miami in 6 years. And then, you know, he comes to Tennessee and it just seems like he's surrounded by, you know, better coaching, better team, all that stuff. I wonder if we'll get that same thing from Sam Darnold.
I think so, yeah, because, again, the ironic part is who coached Ryan Tannehill in that playoff year that he had a winning season and who coached Sam Darnold? It was Adam Gase.
Adam Gase, that's right, with Mr. Googly Eyes.
Yeah, Googly Eyes, Adam Gase. And so it's like, you know, you can see that they, you know, it's like he goes to Tennessee, and he's very effective. Now, again, he wasn't as effective on Sunday against Arizona because their pass blocking was so bad. I mean, Taylor Lewan got beat for 5 sacks by Chandler Jones, and Tannehill barely was able to get the ball downfield, and they couldn't generate the running game. And, of course, once they started to trail, then it really got even worse. But I think Tannehill's a very good quarterback. I mean, he's been to playoffs now in the last 2 years. You know, he's we'll see how he does with Julio Jones, but right now what he's got to look at is that where are they on the offensive line? You know, they replaced their right tackle, and so you know, all those things are up in the air. But, you know, in the end, this is going to be, you know, I think this is going to be a challenging game for them. And then the other thing on Tennessee is that you wonder about the defense, because I think statistically they were the fifth worst defense in the league last year. And they come out with all the changes that they made at cornerback, 2 changes on the defensive line, all those things. And they give up 37 points to Arizona.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. All right, that does it for us. Our thanks to the professor, John Clayton, for joining us on the show. If you missed anything from this abbreviated edition of the program, you know where to go. 710sports.com. Click the podcast tab and just scroll down to our picture and click on that. You're going to find anything you've missed any day of the week right there waiting for you after the show. We're going to be back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.